HiBridge Audio presents It's Not Luck by Eliyahu M. Goldratt. Read by Rick Adamson. Original material, copyright 1994, 2014, Goldratt 1 Limited. Recording, copyright 2014, HiBridge Company. Chapter 1. As for Alex Rogo's group, at last Granby has reached my part. I lean back and concentrate. I enjoy every word. No wonder, as the executive VP in charge of the diversified group, I wrote all of it. Well, not exactly all. Granby has changed some superlatives, his prerogative being the CEO, I guess. It's not just the way he reads it with his deep baritone voice, it's the music. Who said that numbers can't be a symphony? Now he reaches the crescendo. In total, the diversified group has finished the year with an operating profit of $1.3 million. Granby paddles on, but now I barely listen. Not bad, I think to myself, not bad at all. Considering that when I took over 1 year ago, this group was deep in the red. Each and every one of its three companies. Granby is finished. Now it's the external director's turn to justify their existence. You see, a board is composed of three groups. The top managers of the company, we do our work before the board meeting. The decoration directors, the ones who are or were top guns in other companies, they do their work elsewhere. And the professional sharks, the representatives of the shareholders, they don't do any work.
Well done, says the pompous ex-CEO of an oil company. You have succeeded in putting Unico back on track exactly in time for the upcoming market recovery.
Well done, I say to myself, a whole sentence without referring to his own past achievements. He's getting better. Now it's the shark's turn. Who will be the one to start poking holes in Granby's report, demanding, as they usually do, something more?
I think that the budget for next year is not aggressive enough, says one of the sharks.
Yes, says another. The forecasted performance is all based on the expected recovery in the market. There is nothing in the plan that shows real effort on the part of Unico.
Exactly as expected. These professional directors are nothing but modern slave drivers. Whatever you do is not good enough. They always crack their whip. Granby doesn't bother answering. But now James Doughty speaks up.
I think that we must constantly remind ourselves that business is not as usual, that we must put in extra effort.
And turning to Granby,
7 years ago, when you got the position of chief executive officer, the shares were traded for $60.20. Now they are oscillating around $32.
Better than the $20 they were 2 years ago, I think to myself.
Moreover, Doughty continues, this company has made so many bad investments that we have drastically eroded our asset base. The credit rating of Unico has dropped two categories. That is totally unacceptable. I think that the plan for next year should reflect a management commitment to bring Unico to what it was before. This is the longest speech I've ever heard Doughty make. He must be serious this time. Actually, he does have a point, of course. If you ignore the overall economy in which we operate, never before has competition been so fierce. Never before has the market been so demanding. Personally, knowing very well how difficult this task is, I think that Granby has done a superb job. He inherited a blue-chip company, but a company that had eroded its product base, a company that was diving into losses, and he brought it back to profitability.
Truman raises his hand to quiet the murmur. This is serious. If Truman backs up Doughty, they have enough power between them to do whatever they want. It is quiet around the table. Truman looks at each of us, the managers, and then very slowly says,
"If this is the best that management is able to come up with, I am afraid we will have to look external."